Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Kept coming up in my heart all day. Sometimes I have to distinguish whether what I feel like God's putting on my heart for y'all and what I've just been feeding on myself and distinguish between the two. Off and on the last 6 months to a year, with great regularity, I've been listening to a series by Keith Moore called Thanksgiving Victory. And I would really encourage you. There's like about 200 teachings under it. No, there's about 7 or 8 or 9 or so. But if you, I'd really suggest go on his website and download those. They are just, it is full of just wonderful things. And that just kept coming up in my heart today to talk to you a little bit about that. And then we're going to just do it. We're going to actually act upon it. And because I want you, my heart tonight is to kind of help us to see how easily we can slip out of a place of the power of being a thankful person, living in thanksgiving. Now, when you say be thankful, I think we all can kind of go, well, yeah, it's good to be thankful. That's a good thing to be. Every Christian should be thankful. But I think sometimes because we think of it with such a, such a generic way, let's eat, somebody give thanks. And that's all fine and good. I'm not diminishing any of that. But sometimes I think in some of the greatest and most profound truths in the Bible, we can sometimes just skim the surface. And, you know, back in the days when there was the gold rush in California and Americans were all moving to the West Coast, to mine gold. You know, you could go out into the stream and you could find gold in the stream, but if you really wanted to get the deep rich veins of gold, you had to dig down. And I think sometimes that's what we do, all of us, in a sense, with the Word of God, that we only get the surface and we'll get a nugget here or a nugget there. But there's such wonderful revelation about living a life of thanksgiving. And so I want to just talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And then I will be led as to how we'll go forward with it. But there really isn't a neutral ground in my life or your life. I'm either thankful in my life or I'm not. There's no gray area. There's no area of my life that I'm either unthankful or thankful for. You can't be in the middle of this. And I want to just take a few scriptures and look at some of the things God's Word says. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. This is just a phenomenal thing that Paul wrote by the Spirit of God. He said these words, "But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ." Now that's out of the King James, and now I've brought another translation into the second part of this. "And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Thanks be to God who always, always causes us to triumph in Christ, and as a result, in through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." Notice that he said, "Give thanks to God who always," everyone say always. Always. So notice this, he said, who always causes you to do what? Triumph. Does winning matter in God? It absolutely does. If you're not careful, you'll adopt a mindset of religious tradition. Some of our religious traditions are fine, unless they violate the Scripture. And you'll hear, well, you know, you can't be victorious all the time. Well, I don't know that you have Scripture for that. You know, here we are in relationship with the God that made the universe. That He's our Father. That all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. That in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Listen, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you. Now, it'd been great if he stopped there. We just worship God about that. But then he said, and you are complete in Him. To think that we have access to all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not celestially. Not in heaven, right here on the earth. He said, and you're complete in Him. Now, certainly we don't have a victorious, can't expect victory in and of our own self and our own strength. But listen, he said, but thanks be to God. He starts with being thankful, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And isn't that wonderful? That verse isn't just talking about past tense victories. He didn't say, thanks be to God who has caused us in the past to experience a few triumphs here and there. That's not what he said. He said, thanks be to God. In other words, you need to be thanking God that He always causes you to do what? Triumph. Triumph's another word for win. In other words, he said, no matter what you face in life, he said, I'm teaching you to be thankful in advance. Really, thanksgiving is the highest expression of faith because you're thanking God for what you've not yet experienced. How many of you have some areas where triumph hasn't yet raised its pretty head? Where circumstances would say you're not triumphing in this area. You're being triumphed over. But he said there's a place in God as a believer where we're called to thank God that we always triumph in Him. He said, and it results in our life spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now, you can take this out of its setting and people will say, well, you should thank God for everything. Well, no. Give thanks for all things unto God. You don't give thanks for the things that God didn't do. How many of you know you don't give thanks for the works of the enemy? That's crazy. But you know, Christians, in a sense, they'll misquote Scripture. Well, you should just give thanks no matter what happens. Lord, thank you for bringing this into my life. That is not what the Scripture's saying. He said, but giving thanks, again, always. What does always mean? It means always. It means, he said, he's calling us as believers to live a life of thanksgiving, meaning there is no other option. When you're unthankful, we're literally out of the will of God, and what we're really walking out of is an expectation of God in our problem. Being unthankful, I don't know if I'm the only one here who's ever felt that or done it. Anybody here ever been unthankful? Well, let me say this. Anytime we take what God said and ignore it and magnify the problem and begin to say things like, well, why did this happen to me? And by the way, I don't have all those answers. God does, and sometimes He reveals the answer, sometimes He doesn't. But if you get to the point to where all you look at is the things in your life that aren't right, and you talk about them and you meditate upon them, you're literally living an unthankful life. And that literally will take you out of the position where the grace of Almighty God can flourish in and through you. He said, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. We need to be thanking God no matter what we're facing in advance. Is, Father, I thank you. I thank you that I triumph in this. And no matter what I face in today, no matter what I face tomorrow, I always triumph. Everyone say always.
Always.
That's a good word to think of every day. Always. Always. And then he told us this. Not only always should we triumph in Christ, he said that we should be giving or being thankful always for all things to God and the Father of our Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He said, in everything give thanks. Now, how clear can this be? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many of you have ever prayed for the will of God? My Lord, show me your will. Well, I don't know if it gets much clearer than this. He said, in everything give thanks, for this, what? In everything giving thanks is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's concerning you. This is God's will. Now, did he say in everything or for everything? In everything. Yet I've heard this quoted by Christians over and over and over again. The Bible says, for everything give thanks. Good, bad, or ugly, whatever comes, Lord, thank you for it. Well, can I ask you this? Should you thank God for adultery? Would it be right to say, Lord, I just thank you for adultery in my spouse's life. I'm so thankful. Well, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Yet, but adultery is pretty clear. That, you know, Lord, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for the murder that happened down the street in my neighbor's house. Thank you, Lord, in everything we just said. Thank you for the murder. Thank you for the murder. That's almost offensive to say it, isn't it? And yet, right on the other hand, we'll take things that have happened. Religion will take things that are destructive in your life that aren't that black and white. And begin to say, Lord, I just thank you. I guess somehow, some way, you have a plan in this. God's plan's revealed in His Bible, in the Word. That in Him, you triumph always. He said, well, what if I don't triumph? Give thanks, then in all things you triumph always. Now, does that mean you've every part of life you've experienced, you just don't give up? No matter what you face, no matter what the circumstance, you have an expectation of faith. Father, I thank you that I triumph in Christ. And in everything, not for everything, but in every circumstance I face, I'm going to give thanks to you. Not because of the problem, but because you are my answer. You are in Him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And it is the easiest thing in the world to be pulled out of a thankful heart. And when you're pulled out of thanksgiving, you're literally being pulled into a place where you're outside of the realms of grace and faith. And in a sense, it's a very dark place to be. When you're unthankful, when I'm unthankful, we step into darkness. And there are positions in life that you could say, dear God, how can I be thankful? And yet He said, in everything, you can give thanks, not for the circumstance, but in the circumstance. And that place of grace and thanksgiving will take you out of that dark place. And yet I've watched people through the years. I've seen it in my own life when you yield to it in any way. You can get in a dark place pretty quickly. Look here in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 16. Here we go. Yeah, Matthew 16, verse 21. This is Jesus predicting His death and His resurrection. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. So He's explaining this to His disciples. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took Him aside, away from the others, and began to rebuke Him. And said, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Now, everyone say Peter rebuked Jesus. That's not smart. Now you understand Jesus just spent a whole lot of time. We just have one verse. Said He began to show them. So over a period of time, He's beginning to reveal. Now guys, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. There'll be a mock trial. They're going to condemn me to die. They're going to crucify me. And then I'm going to die. They're going to bury me. And 3 days later, I'll raise from the dead. Now, Peter hears this. And I'm sure the others might have felt the same way. But Peter, you know, had a personality you can see in Scripture, always kind of jumping into stuff. And here we find Peter pulls Jesus aside. Just said, it will stop. Just stop. Come here. Me, Peter? Yeah, you, Jesus. Come here. Pulls him aside and said, listen, this isn't going to happen. This should be far from you. Now, naturally speaking, would you not agree that Jesus did not deserve to be crucified? Correct? And look at Jesus' response to Peter. This is about as strong as you can see. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. For you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Jesus just called Peter Satan. That's a bad day too. I mean, if Jesus looks at you and calls you the devil, but you know, just prior to this, Peter, remember Jesus asked a question, who do men say that I am? Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. So here on one sense, Peter's excited because he literally said something that God Almighty revealed to him. And then in the next breath, he's yielding to the devil. But I want you to see, in yielding to the devil, it made sense. And isn't it amazing? Look at Jesus' response. Now, I think we see Jesus saying something like this. Peter, I need to speak to you now. Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. If you can get the gist of this, Peter's probably very emotional. His master just said, I'm going to die. And Peter said, you could just see him. He's going, you can't let this happen to you. See, sometimes we take this out of humanity. These are people. Jesus was all man, all God. Peter talked to him like a man to man. He said, Lord, you can't let this happen. This can't. No, far be it from you. And Jesus didn't look back at him and say, get thee behind me. He looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. And I probably did it loud enough. The other fellows heard it. Peter's like, now just tell me God spoke through you. Now I'm the devil. He said, because you're an offense to me. He was tapping into a part of the nature of Jesus was all God, all man. The Bible said he was tempted in all points, just like we, yet without what? Without sin. Peter came awfully close. He's saying? You're a temptation to me. The word offense is another, if you read that, if you study that word out in the Greek, it literally carries the term, you're tempting me. Nobody wants to, not only forget just the death of a cross, he's about to bear the sin of the whole world. And I want you to notice, Jesus refused to think about himself. If anybody ever had a right to say, why me? This isn't fair. Would you not agree it's Jesus? But notice that he so recognized when Peter used words that got him to be focused on himself, got him to stop being focused on the will of God for his life, that it was such a temptation to him, he recognized it not as the subtle words of a man that really loved him and said, I don't want this to happen to you. He recognized it as what it was, a temptation from the pit of hell to pull him out of the will of God for his life. And Jesus had to make that decision. And you think of, can you imagine what Peter felt like? And all of a sudden, Jesus turns on his heels and says that to him. Because it is life and death important that we live in a place of thankfulness. Unthankfulness destroys marriages. People meditate all day long of what their spouse isn't, what they don't do, what they haven't been, what they haven't done. And yet I've been with people when their spouse is dying or has died. And the same person, miserable for years, complaining for years, they don't do this, they don't do that, and now they're gone. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking of one gentleman that was really rough around the edges with his wife. To be honest with you, if he was thankful about her, he never showed it. And I mean, he said that openly to people even. And yet when she died, he spent I think it literally almost caused him to lose somewhat of his mental acuity. He was even losing it, I think, as a result mentally. I went to see him, he'd walk in that house, and he was an older man. He'd take her picture, and he'd kiss it, and he'd kiss it. And he'd say, she was such a wonderful woman. And I'm convinced part of the reason he was so tormented is that he never said it to her. He never lived in a place of thankfulness for her. He would say things derogatorily about her to other people. And listen, it is the easiest thing in the world to find fault with people. It's the easiest thing in the world to find fault with your church. It's not a perfect church. And if it was, you ruined it when you came. Because there are no perfect people. They don't make perfect people. Except the ones who think they're perfect. And we know they're imperfect because they think they're perfect. They're messed up. right? But it's really important. I mean, guys, it's life and death important that we recognize that being thankful causes us to be positioned to always triumph. Say it again, always triumph. So I want you to think about the area of your life. I can think of the area of my life where I'm not, Lord, it's like I'm not getting the victory there like I want. And it might be something, what someone might say is insignificant, but it might be something very serious in your life. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be financial, it could be with your career path, it could be in your marriage, it could be a variety of things. And I want to ask you tonight, we're going to go into the presence of God again. And I want you to go into the spot that the devil is doing what he did to Jesus, trying to get you to focus on you. This isn't right. You don't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened to you. And take you out of the place of thankfulness. Now again, I'm not telling you to say, Lord, I thank you for this problem. Because again, this is where religion will tell you, well, God brings a problem so he can fix it. God brought that trouble in your life to teach you something. How many of you know God doesn't use the devil to teach his kids? Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and life in abundance. Jesus said that my word will prune you if you let it. Now I tell you this, sure, you can learn from trouble. But there's a whole lot better way of learning than experience. The best way is other people's experience. I met with a fellow one time, just a young guy in ministry. And in fact, he worked for us on staff. And in fact, Steve and I were meeting with him, talking to him. A lot of potential, good kid, is, you know, as it were. And we're trying to explain to him things to help him. He stopped us and said, I don't learn that way. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have to experience it to learn it. I said, I just can't pay you to be stupid. You aren't going to live long enough to learn everything the hard way. And let me tell you, and if you can go to the school of learning it the hard way, you can't afford the tuition. It will kill you. What he basically said is that I can't accept anything you're telling me. Let me figure it out myself. Well, that's fine. Do that on your own nickel. I can get foolishness for free. How about you? And prayerfully, the young man grew up a little bit and he made some of those adjustments. But the reality of it is, we have to make a decision that we're going to go into these areas of our life, just like here with Peter and Jesus, and recognize it for what it is. Unthankfulness will destroy anything it touches. Now, we all deal with it. We've all been unthankful. But isn't it sometimes we can almost justify it? Just like Peter was trying to get Jesus to do. This isn't right. This shouldn't be this way in your life. You're being maltreated. You should have been taken. No one should have treated you this way. And let's say you got overlooked at your job or your spouse or whatever. And you can almost feel justified to hold on to this resentment and these bad feelings. But the fact of it is, I want to encourage you tonight. Not just, oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I want you to go into your life. Open the page of your life, as it were. And I want you to find that spot in your life that you detest or you want changed so badly. And you say, my God, I've been believing you, asking. I've been wanting help in this area for a year, 2 years, 10 years. I don't know how long it's been for you. Whatever it's been for you, I want to encourage you. Sincerely, I want to encourage you to take that area. And I want you to go before God tonight, and we're going to do this in a minute. So, Vicki, if you're here, there's Vicki, come on back up. Oh, the whole worship team, come on back up. I want to go into the presence of God tonight and thank God. I don't mean generically. I want you, and we're going to ask the worship team to go ahead and sing, and as they worship the Lord, and then actually you can just play something so that y'all can do it too. But I want you to go into the area of your life. And this is what I felt led to do. It's for you to go into the area of your life that you're, whatever that is for you, you know what it is. And I want you to begin to talk to God about it. Say, Father, first I repent for being unthankful in this area of my life. Because thankfulness will cause me to be positioned to always triumph in Him. And in this situation, I will give thanks. And what are you giving thanks for? That you're redeemed. that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above only and not beneath. The word of God's true for you, that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that you've been set on a high place in Christ, that no weapon formed against you can prosper, that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment is proven to be in the wrong, that every promise of God for you is yes and amen, and God's for you, and He loves you, and He's not against you, and no matter what it looks like, my God is faithful. My God is faithful. Remember, the Bible says that Sarah received strength to conceive when she judged God faithful. What does that mean, strength to conceive? It means she received ability to do the impossible when she judged God faithful. Thanklessness, being not unthankful, is judging God unfaithful. And the Bible said when she judged God faithful, she received strength. We could say it this way, strength or enablement to receive. In this case, a child in her old age. So we could actually break that down a step further and say, when I judge God faithful, which immediately brings me to a place of thanksgiving, then I receive strength to do the impossible in my life. I receive grace and ability to overcome anything in my life. I don't care if it's a deep hidden sin that's captured you through the years. If it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's marital, if it's real, I don't know, whatever it is. That when you judge Him faithful, and that's what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is when you feel one way and you say, Father, I thank You, You're more than enough. I thank You that I abide in Christ. I thank You that what You promised in Your Word belongs to me. You begin to just be thankful about it. Sure, you're going to be tempted to let your mind rest on all the things that are going wrong and all the way it may impact you negatively or people that you love negatively. But you're going to have to resist that like Jesus resisted what Peter said. You're going to have to, in a sense, get behind me, Satan. You're going to have to cast down some thoughts. Now that word cast down, it literally means throw down. It's a violent term. Anybody have boys, grow up with boys in your house? You ever seen your boys fight and they start throwing somebody down? My older brothers beat the mess out of me. Thank God I had younger brothers, I could work on them. Except baby Jesus, no one ever touched Him. He was holy and sacred. He had 8 years between us and He was the one that was worshipped and adored. But that's another thing. But guys, I got to tell you, you can be thankful. So you just can't be thankful. I can't. Yes, you can. Because you can walk by faith and not by sight. And in this place of thankfulness is where we will find the grace of God. It's where we'll experience the triumph. And in its absence, you're going to find a very dark place. And so I want you to take that place. Would you stand together? Just forget about everybody around you for a few minutes. Forget about everything and everybody around you. As the worship team sings a song through a time or two, don't sing. Just you right where you are. I want you to find that place in your soul that you know in your life you've been unthankful. It's been tough. It's been a rough area. And I want you right where you're standing tonight to begin to say, Father, I thank You. Would you lift your hands down and thank Him? Thank Him. Give Him thanks for His goodness in your life. We always triumph, Lord. Always triumph. Every area of our life, we triumph in You. We triumph in You. You are faithful. We worship You, Father. We triumph in You. We triumph. We will not bow our knee to the circumstance. We'll not bow our knee through unthankfulness. We thank You. We always triumph. Always, always, always in the name of Jesus. Thank You for it, Lord. Father, we thank You. Worship You. Thank You, Father. Wow. It's a good thing to give thanks to Him, isn't it? Praise God. You can be seated. Put that into practice in everyday life. You won't have a worship team with you. You don't need one. He didn't say give thanks to God only when the worship team was helping you. You can choose to do this. You can choose that when the thoughts come to your mind to pull you into a place of unbelief and being unthankful, you say, no, I refuse that. I'm going to believe what my God says about me. And this is subject to change. My God's faithful. This will bow its knee because I triumph in Christ. I declare I'm a victorious overcomer right now, independently of what I see. Amen? You've got to stand and believe. Say what God says about you. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, we never want to take that for granted. Eternity is much, 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 much too long to be in the wrong place. And Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. You talk about triumph. Now that's some serious triumph. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you, and I'll do it right where you're seated. And the whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to invite Christ in my heart. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you just lift your hand so I can see it? And then we'll pray for you right where you're at. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They join those. I want to join those that raise their hand and invite Christ in my life. I've not yet done that. Please include me as well in that prayer. Wonderful. If you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. And Jesus will come into your life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. At the end of the service this evening, Pastor Steve will give you some information and further details how to go on in the next step following Christ in your life. But pray this out loud where you hear it. And we'll all pray it out loud and together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.